There you are, viewers. Ah, so glad you could get here. Welcome to Cockgrave Colliery. And you've caught me in midstream because I'm here. Wait a minute. I'm here actually elucidating in front of an audience, the audience here. Am I not elucidating? Thank you very much. Well, please yourselves. Anyway, and to see where. They, but tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I feel. I sort of feel limp. No, don't laugh. It's wicked to mock the afflicted. I felt no limp. I feel. You know me. Anybody else who feel limp, apart from any honeymoon couples? Anybody else? No, I just. I know what it is. It's this jogging. I've got to stop this jogging. It's silly, you know. But I have to keep in shape, you see, because the Chippendales... the Chippendales... Titty, you not. The Chippendales have asked me to join them. And wait... in an advisory capacity. They want me to tell them and show them how we did it in the old days. Cheeky buggers. No, I mean... Yes. Anyway, that's what it's all about. And tonight, but it's, I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you know, of course, it's what it is. It's, do you find it? It's hot in here, isn't it? Sticky. Do you notice that? It's these television lights. They're very hot, you know, and sticky. I was just wondering something. I wonder if you could cool me down a bit. I'll tell you why. No. What? No, I wonder if you could blow on me. No, well, no, what, listen, no. If you could give me a blow. I'd be, no, what, listen. Now, after three, blow, all right? One, two, three. Oh. ecstasy. One more time, shall we? That's right. Go on, missus. Pucker your lips, dear. Uh-huh. You haven't forgotten how to, have you, dear? Well, take your teeth out. We're not going anywhere. Go on. Sure. Here we are. Now, pucker. No. One, two, three. I said, pucker, not pass an opinion. Do you know London? Do you know Soho? Yes. Dirty beast.
Dirty beast, Steve!
Well, I was there, going through Soho, walking down this back lane, see? And I had a shock in my life. I saw the chairman of British Coal, no, listen, walking out of this sex shop. Chairman of British Coal, what's his name, Lord Muck, or whatever his name is, you know. He's at the sex shop. And he said, oh, Howard. He said, I was just thinking of you. I said, not in there, surely. He said, don't be absurd. He said, I've just been in there to buy a couple of pipe cleaners. And he said, no, they tell me, he said, that you're going to Cockgrave Colliery, he said. Apparently some TV company sent you there. Is that right? I said, yes, sir. Oh, he said, that's very good. That'll raise morale. He said, that's what we want, raise morale. He said, you see, I hear the men are stuck in a rut. Perhaps you can help and get them out of it. So I said, oh, no, sir, not on your nelly, I said. No. I said, if they're busy rutting, I said, I'm not going to poke my nose in. Or anything else, for that matter. But I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The British coal industry and I have got one thing in common. We have both been very badly mismanaged for years. No, it's true. Look there. That's a bit of... No, that's a bit of what they call satire. Satire. No, I'd like to slip in something different, you know. Get back to your shaft. Get back. Naughty. No. And so when I got up here, the first person, I was asked to report to your boss. Your boss man, the Führer. Stocks. Is his name Stocks? Mr. Stocks. And, yes, slingy man, I must say. I tell you something, he's no laughing stocks, that's for sure. Does he always walk away when you're talking to him? Very strange man. He's got a strange house too. All open plan. including the toilets. He said, now look, he said, let's have a little talk, me and you. Now, these jokes you're going to do, or supposed to do, this turn you're going to do, is it going to be suitable? So I said, oh, yes, sir, very. I said, I should be pure as the driven snow. Pure, yes. Nothing blue, sir, nothing blue. Oh, he said, that's a pity, he said. That's all they like. I said, well, what about swearing? I mean, how do they feel about swearing? It's always that they love it. They love it, but he said, don't worry, he said, they'll stop now and again so you can get a word in. Don't worry. Strange man. Anyway, so we've got to do this audience participation. I get awfully jittery about this. I'm not very good at it. But what are we going to do? First of all, tell the viewers, or explain to the viewers, something about the Cotgrave Colliery. And so I'm going to ask the entertainment manager here if he'll sort of help me elucidate a bit about all this. I don't know if he's here. Mick? Yeah. Oh, there you are, sir. Could you tell us exactly what do you mine here?
Coal.
there must be more than one type of coal, I should think. Different, you know, styles or different types of coal. And I wonder if you could expand on that. What type of coal?
Grade 2.
Yeah. Well, when you get the coal, this grade 2 coal, and of course you have to bring to the surface. How do you actually mine this?
We dig it up.
Well, you've got all these mounds, haven't you? All piles of the coal and everything else. Then, will you explain to the viewers what happens to it then?
Then it gets burnt. Then...
Mick. This is not being taken down in evidence against you, you know. If you want to fly into a frenzy, let yourself go. Who's that crouching behind you? Is that your wife? Is it you, the wife? What's your name, love?
June.
I see. You married him?
Yes.
Are you? Well, he's not exactly a tearaway, is he? No wonder they call him Mogadon Mick. Look at him there. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I feel terrible. No, I feel... No, don't. No, don't clap. I feel terrible. I feel full of remorse. Now, anyway, I don't know. We didn't get along. I think I must have rubbed him up the wrong way. Does he communicate with you all right?
Sometimes.
Oh, I see. Have you got your children?
Yes.
What? How many?
Two.
Oh. Well, he's communicating with you twice. At any rate, that much we know. I tell you something, it's very important that husbands and wives should get to, you know, communicate with each other. I mean, it's a story, and this is a true story. This farmer and his wife who lived... Well, they had on the farm, the man and his wife. A little lonely farm, really. This was in Wales, you see. In a place called Swansea. Anyway, this farm, you see, and sheep everywhere. He was surrounded by sheep everywhere. And you see, sometimes he got these terrible sexual urges. And wait a minute. So he used to drop everything. And wait a minute. Let him get home first. Then he's going to get his... He's going to dash home to see his wife. Well, she was a funny woman. No, but she was cakes. Cake mad. Always baking cakes. Her oven door was never shut. She was always pushing cakes and, you know, demented. And, of course, he used to dash in with his urge. And said, come on. Dash upstairs to the bedroom, you see. And she'd be messing about and she'd clean up, you see. And then, time she got upstairs, his urge had gone. So he said, look, dear, he couldn't stand it any longer. He said, now, look, Samantha. He said, look, this is no good at all. He said, look, I'll tell you what I'll do in future. He said, when you're baking, you'll be looking out your window there. I'll give you a signal to say I'm on my way with my urge. Now, he said, what? He said, now, you get upstairs quick. Do you understand? So I said, you understand? So, because there was today, Steve... Yeah, well, the following day to this story, you see, She's looking at the window, and she saw him. So she rushed upstairs, and she lay herself on the bed, all akimbo, you see. And he dashed in and he said, "What the hell are you doing, laying there, all akimbo?" "Well," she says, you're pointing upstairs, up there." He said, "I know, of course I was. The bloody roof's on fire now. What the hell's going on?" You see now. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
American comedians talk a lot about one-liners.
One-liners?
What's a one-liner?
Shut your face. One-liner. Well, one-liner is a one-line. It's when you do a joke in a sentence, you see. Why do you ask, anyway?
Well, you don't tell those sort of stories, do you?
Well, sometimes. Why?
You tell more sort of rambling stories, sort of, "Oh, yes, Mrs. No,
rambling
Mrs. All that."
Oh, I think we've got the message, thank you very much. "Oh, no, No, I can do one-liners. Yes, well, I can do them. I mean, look at that woman next door to us. Fat. Fat, she is enormous. She's down to a standstill. I told her, I said, "You must do something." I said, "You'll make yourself poorly. Enormous." I said, "Go and see a doctor." So she said, "All right, go and see a doctor." She came back from this doctor. I saw her. I said, "What happened then?" Well, she said, "He put me on a diet. He put me on a diet." I said, "Well, jolly good job too." So I went in there a week later in her house, about 8 o'clock in the evening, 8 o'clock, and she's stuffing herself with a great plate of fish and chips. You know? I said, "I thought you were on a diet." She said, "I am. I've had that. This is my supper." I can't do one-liners. Fat, she's enormous. The woman's enormous. When she goes to a fancy dress party, she covers herself with a sheet and goes as Alaska. What? One-liners? She's fat, she's enormous. What? Last week was her birthday. So they clubbed together and bought her a present. It was a waterbed. Guess what was in it? Lake Windermere. One-liners? Oh, don't worry. Listen. Now.
Can I ask something else?
Oh, God.
Can you tell the story about the old man and the lodger?
The story about who?
The old man and the lodger. My dad told me about it. He heard you telling
him. Well, all right. Thank you very much. I was lucky he didn't say your granddad. Anyway, this chap. No. It was the old boy. He was. He used to be the postman, Eddie. Nice chap. And I met him in the street. I hadn't seen him for years, you know. So I said, "How are you, Eddie?" He said, "Oh, I'm fine." He looked it too. I said, "Anything new?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'm getting married." I said, "You're not getting married? Are you really? Good God." I said, "How old are you now?" He said, 82. I said, 82? No. I said, "Well, how old is your bride to be?" He said, 24. I said, 24? You're 82? There's a discrepancy there, isn't there? Well, he said, "It's all right." He said, "I've been to the doctor." He said, "I'm in full working order." He said, "Some parts want oiling," but he said, I'm all right." So I said, "Oh, 24, girl, 82. I said, "Look, come here, Eddie. I said, "Look, can I give you some advice? Look, you'll be out a lot getting an old age pension. Take in a young lodger, a good-looking young lodger. You'll be surprised the difference it'll make. It'll make her happier. You see, you understand? Because it'll satisfy her more. When you're out in the club, it'll be company, and you'll find she'll be much more satisfied." So he said, "Do you think so?" I said, "I'm sure of it." So he said, "I'll do that then, a young lodger." "All right then." So off he went, you see, and I met him the following year, coming along on the bottom of the street on his skateboard. And you see, all the black leather on. "Well, so I said, Eddie, here." I said, "You're looking sprightly, how are you?" "Oh," he said, "wicked, wicked." So I said, "Oh." I said, "How's the marriage?" He said, "Oh, brill, brill." So I said, "Oh, well, that's good." And I said, "How is your wife?" Oh, he said, she's marvellous. She's having a baby. Had a baby? Oh. I said, how was the lodger? Oh, he said, she's having one as well. Listen. Now, you made me tell that. Don't blame me. Blame him. He made me do it. Anybody else? Any other questions? Oh, go here. Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Tom.
Tom. What? And, yes. What?
What's the secret of your longevity?
Long what?
Longevity.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That's between me and my doctor. Excuse me. Cheeky devil. Anybody else?
Please.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Mine's in two parts.
Look, we don't want your medical history, if you don't mind. But I dare ask him. Please, got to get the right answer. What is in two parts?
The question.
Oh, thank God. Right. It was a nasty moment. What is the question in the first part?
They tell me you do a lot of catchphrases.
Yes. What? Well, there's some.
Do they make sense?
No. Not at all. Not on your nilly. No, well, no, that's... Well, the thing... No, once they did. Because I was sitting at home and I got a phone call from a film producer. And it was for a movie, not for me. He wanted it to these... Have you heard of a voiceover? Well, do you know what it means, a voiceover? When you get commercials and there's someone talking, that's the voiceover. Well, he wanted these catchphrases for a voiceover for a movie. He didn't tell me it was a blue movie. And it was for the women's part. See, oh no, oh no, oh nay, nay, thrice nay, oh not on your nelly, oh! And God knows he was doing the male parts, I didn't dare ask. What's the second part of your interrogation?
How do you deal with hecklers?
Shoot them. Well, no, I don't, that's silly, because I don't shoot them, not usually. Do you speak at all in public? Do you do any talking?
Not really.
I mean, no. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll show you what I mean. You see how you can be put off. Would you mind standing up? What's your name, sir?
Frank.
Oh! Not, it's not Francis, is it the first name?
No.
Oh, common. My first name's Francis, you see. And, all right, well, Frank, would you mind standing up? Now, you just start talking. I'll heckle you, see what I mean? That's it. Ready? Anything, it doesn't matter what you say, mate. Right, go on, go.
Well, at Wynnette Street yesterday morning, I met this chap called Gordon. A bit of a character,
why don't you? Why don't you go home?
I would do if doors weren't shut, but no. I still let that go. So we're walking down with Gordon and then... But Gordon was talking about this thing.
Why don't you go to sleep, then?
Well, we're doing our best.
But I'm... Thank you. Would you load the revolver? Well, you won that little rally, didn't you? I kicked two own goals then, didn't I? Game, set, and match to you, Frank. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What is your name?
Arthur.
Arthur. And what is your... What do you do exactly?
Bar steward.
Pardon?
Bar steward.
Oh, that's what I've heard. Terrible now. He'll hit me afterwards. I want a drink from him. One too. Anyway, where do you live? On the premises?
Yes.
Upstairs somewhere, I suppose. Yes. That's why they call him Fiddler on the Roof. Anyway. I'm only joking. Even though it's true. I'm going to say, what question do you want
to
ask?
Have you ever said anything on stage you wish you hadn't?
Tonight, badly everything. What do you mean?
No, I mean anything embarrassing.
Have I said anything? Oh, terrible. Yeah. Oh, terrible times. Sometimes when I try to ad lib, I get, you know, I say things and afterwards I think, dear God, what have I said? I mean, it's terrible. You don't know without thinking. You can say, drop bricks. Terrible, I've done. Terrible bricks. I remember last year I went up to playing a club up in the north. It was a Catholic club. A Catholic club, you see. And what I like to do, I like to get in early in clubs. And try and find out some local colour, you know what I mean? Some little gossip and trying to work in the act, you see, in the term, because they like, you know, it goes well with the local stuff. And so I thought, I'll get up there. So I went, funny enough, to this bar steward in this Catholic club. And I said, look, can you tell me any bits of, you know, tidbits? He said, no, nothing here, it's very quiet. I said, oh, it must be something. I said, no little bits of, you know, hanky-panky, no, rookie-nookie-nookie. He said, no, nothing. I said, well, isn't there a hockey team or a darts team or something? No, he said, very quiet indeed. I said, it must be something. So he said, well, no. He said, the only thing is, he said, oh, a month ago, some bloke stole our new television set. He said, that's all. Oh, stole your new television? What, a month ago? I said, well, thank you very much. So I came on the stage. You see, I bounded on the stage because I could bound in those days. And there I was. There was a sea in the audience, a sea of nuns and priests. It looked like a box of licorice all sorts. It was just all and I did my best. I came in with all my best jokes. All the best jokes I knew, all the best ones, you know, like the bishop and the call girl, and the nun on the crossbar, and the donkey and the vicar's wife. I mean, they're all good ones. Not a titter, titterless.
Titterless!
I thought, well, they've heard them all, obviously, they've heard them. I thought, dear God, help me. Please give somebody some inspiration, something topical, some local colour. And all of a sudden, I saw at the back of the hall a huge crucifix. A huge crucifix, right at the back of the hall. I said, oh, ah, ha, ha, look, I see you caught the bloke who stole your telly. Look, ha, ha, ha. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, I felt terrible. All hell broke loose. Have you ever been beaten up by a gang of nuns? Have you? Well, I've often dreamt of it, but... No, I don't know, I wouldn't bother if I were you. Anyway, thing is this, I've done some terrible things. The trouble is that different people laugh at different things. Audiences aren't always the same. Different people laugh at different things. For instance, last year I was playing a very posh theatre in the West End of London. This posh theatre, terribly posh, in the West End of London, you see. And I told them this gag. I said, now what is the difference between erotic and kinky? Well, with erotic, you use a feather. With kinky, you use the whole chicken. Now, they guffawed in the West End. They guffawed at that, guffawed. Which just goes to prove that in the West End, they're more common than you are. Anyway, you'll be a marvellous audience, and thank you very much. So, up the miners. Thank you. God bless you. Up the miners. Up the miners.
Next Sunday at 10:30, Frankie Howard entertains an audience of firefighters.